Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Throughout January and into February, we've been giving a close examination into a passage from 2 Peter. That's where we'll start today, looking at a couple of verses from 2 Peter 1, beginning with verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've already taken a look at faith, diligence, virtue, knowledge, and last week we looked at temperance. This week we'll consider patience. Patience is translated from the Greek word hupanome, which is translated as H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, and it means cheerful endurance, constancy, patience, patient continuance. For those who like to look through concordances, it is Greek word 5281 in Strong's Concordance. When we think of the different meanings of the word hupomone, cheerful endurance, constancy, patience, and patient continuance, we begin to get an idea of how those apply in our spiritual life. We'll begin the day by considering what is written for us in the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, because the word patience, hupomone, is used. Let's take a look at Revelation 14, beginning with verse 9. Revelation 14, verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now let's notice verse 12. Here is the patience, or hupomone, of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Patience, the cheerful endurance, constancy, patient continuance, this hupomone involves keeping the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their work do follow them. Patience does not simply mean that we take the persecutions of life that Satan and his demons may give us. Those will naturally come our way anyway. But patience, this hupomone, means that we will keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Patience is used in other chapters of the book of Revelation. Let's dial it back one chapter and look at Revelation 13. We'll start in Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were at the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Because they saw no way to defeat the beast, because they saw this incredible power of the beast, they decided to join forces with the beast and to worship the beast. With God, we never need to surrender ourselves to another person for any reason. We surrender ourselves only to God the Father and Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. In verse 6, when the beast opens his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme God's name, God's tabernacle, and all who dwell with God in heaven, it does not necessarily mean that he is publicly attacking God. To the public, this person could still seem like a very righteous and pious individual. Those of us who study the Bible know there's a big difference between those who claim to be Christians and those who practice what is written in the Bible. This beast will destroy people who are faithful to God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, through the Holy Spirit. These people who are going to be persecuted, who are the saints, who will be overcome, are people who may be following what is written in the Bible that the world has rejected. Verse 8, And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. Again, people worship what they have faith in. And so for these people, they will be having a very religious experience. One that makes sense to them and appeals to their understanding. But these are people who will be so far removed from faith that when they see faith, true Christianity, it will come across as an evil to them, and they will attack the people who are true to God the Father, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In verse 10, we know we will continue to keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus Christ, knowing that whatever may be done to us during this future time, we will be avenged. And in the end, we will win. The word patience was used by Jesus Christ when he spoke to the churches in the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. Let's take a look at what he said to the church at Philadelphia. Let's take a look at Revelation 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee." Verse 10. "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." To the church at Philadelphia, a promise is made because of this church's patience that they will be kept from this tribulation, this time of trouble that will dwell upon the earth. Verse 11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." There is no need for us to try and go and develop new truth. If we do not hold fast that which we have, it's because we are reaching for new truth and new understanding. We are told to hold fast to that which we have, because if we don't do that, we run the risk of giving up our crown of righteousness to another person. Verse 12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." In the book of Revelation, there were seven churches that Jesus spoke to. And the church at Philadelphia had this glowing review and was mentioned as having patience. Other churches that were mentioned as having patience were the church at Ephesus and Thyatira. However, there was no mention of patience to the churches at Smyrna, Pergamos, Sardis, or Laodicea. When you go through and take a look at what the churches were praised and chastised on, you would see that these churches had some significant issues. For the church at Smyrna, there might not have been a chance for it to develop this continuing endurance. It might have been a very short-lived church, because the passage from Revelation indicates that this church was heavily persecuted from its inception, and it may not have been able to endure for a long period of time simply because of the persecution of the members, where maybe many of them died out. Pergamos allowed members to hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, who believed in living lives of unrestrained indulgence. Sardis was considered to be a dead church, a church in name only, and Laodicea was a lukewarm church. Patience is a theme that we can find both in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The very first book that chronologically followed the ministry of Jesus Christ, the book of James, very early in the book of James, talks of patience. Let's look at James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. "My brethren, Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When we choose to endure and have patience, that leads to this perfect work within us as our faith grows and develops and matures, and as we spiritually become perfect and develop spiritually in the eyes of God the Father and Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, in the writings and the prophets. Let's take a look at Psalm 37, verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Patience is this cheerful continuance, and we must cheerfully continue in the face of evil. In the world we live in today, we can look on our own streets, in our community, in our state or territory or province, and in our country. And we can look at other countries in the world. And what do we see? We see acts of kindness and love and good. But we also see incredible evil that causes us great heartache. Sometimes that evil is something we only see on the news. Sometimes that evil is never mentioned on the news, but it directly and negatively impacts our own life. It is in the face of that kind of evil, in addition to the evil that we see on the news every night, that we must cheerfully endure and continue. And when we do that, what happens? Let's take a look at verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. When we cheerfully endure and continue in the face of evil, what we do as good will be so easy for everyone else to see that they will not be able to question our faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ as we keep the commandments of God the Father. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And as we patiently wait for God, we remember we keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. As we wait for God in the face of evil, and we see evil around us, it is easy for us to become discouraged. It can be easy for us to become angry when we see evil. As we see evil, those are matters for us to refer to law enforcement. There is never a situation where we allow a person to take advantage of another person, especially when there's a violation of law. if there's a person in authority over a child and that person is committing acts of sexual immorality, you know, teacher to a student, coach to an athlete, those things are always immediately reported to law enforcement without delay, even if it is priest or minister to young congregant. There's never any reason why those matters would never be immediately reported to law enforcement. That is our course of action that we can take as we see evil around us. But what should our internal motivation and thought process be? Verse 8 of Psalm 37. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, those who are patient, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be, yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So who are these meek that were mentioned in the Beatitudes when Jesus spoke? It's people who patiently wait, people who endure to the end, people who keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Just like God judges us without partiality, people who are wicked take advantage of other people without partiality. They simply take a look at who they can victimize. That's the only standard they go by. With God, God takes a look at who is righteous. It's a different standard that both God and the wicked look at, but they both use an impartial standard. Verse 15. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. It's better to be poor and righteous than it is to be rich and wicked. There's nothing wrong with being rich and righteous. We know from the scriptures that that's a much harder pathway to go through, and one that is unlikely for most people. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. God takes care of those who are righteous. God takes care of his people. The wicked may prosper in bad times, but they only prosper through their own effort. There is no blessing coming to them from God. When there are bad times and we are able to manage through those bad times, it is because God has blessed us. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. People who borrow and do not pay back are on the side of the wicked. People who are righteous may have had money or items borrowed from them, however, they show mercy when they are not repaid. Verse 22, for such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. People who are righteous are not without sin. Everyone sins and comes short of the glory of God the Father and our elder brother, Jesus Christ, who was perfect here on earth. We all fall short. And yet, what are we promised in verse 24? We will not be utterly cast down. We will not be thrown away by God because of that. God will hold us up and pull us up by God's hand when necessary. Verse 25. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him. Some things never change. We know there's this future time coming when the wicked will seek to slay the righteous. It was happening back when this psalm was written. Verse 33. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. When we wait on the Lord and keep his way, in verse 34, that is very similar to the concept that the patience of the saints was those who kept the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And the word for wait in verse 34 is the Hebrew word kava, the Strong's Hebrew word 6960, which simply means patiently wait. Patience is a very consistent theme, both in the Old and New Testaments. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Death comes to both the righteous and the evil. And evil people will one day die and no longer be able to commit acts of evil on earth. Right now, that comes through the natural conclusion of the lifespan of evil people. When Jesus Christ returns and the kingdom of God is established here on earth, that will be for all evil people. That is this future happy time that we think of with the kingdom of God. Verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Those who are righteous, who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, when they die, and the righteous die too, they will die in peace. They will also be resurrected into this wonderful kingdom of God. But the righteous, unlike the wicked, they will die in peace. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, he is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Trust is faith. We have faith in God. We keep the commandments of God the Father. We have faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result, we have this patience. And in the end, we are delivered from this evil. Isaiah the prophet talks of those who have patience, those who keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus Christ. And here is how Isaiah writes about those who have patience in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. God has eternal patience. God does not give up. God can outlast any evil person or spiritual being. And what does God in return do? Verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait on the Lord will be empowered by God the Father because they keep the commandments of God. And they have the faith of Jesus Christ. And they will do things that will utterly confound people who do not know God. Patience is an incredibly important aspect of character to have, especially in times of evil. What happens when we act impulsively in times of evil? We are more susceptible to the evil that is around us. Patience is incredibly important, and this is written down for us in the book of Luke. Let's take a look at the words of Jesus that are recorded for us in Luke 21, beginning in verse 12. Talking of the end time here, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls. The word soul here refers to our lives and body. And it is in our patience that we possess our life and body. We keep the commandments of God the Father and the faith of Jesus Christ. knowing that we do not to be overly worried about these times of evil that will come in our life, because when we are challenged spiritually, we know that through the Holy Spirit, through our faith in Jesus Christ, through keeping the commandments of God the Father in verse 15, we will be given a mouth and wisdom that will not be able to be rebutted by our adversaries. And we also know that, yes, we may be betrayed by our own family, by people we worship with, by relatives and friends, brothers and sisters, and they might hate us and want us to be put to death. But it is through our patience, this cheerful endurance, that we possess our souls. Let's see what Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he have hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It is through faith of things that we do not see that we have patience. We have patience for this future kingdom of God. We have patience that when we are challenged in the face of evil, that God will preserve our life. Patience is not something that we ever punt with. It's never acceptable for us to act impulsively in an effort to save ourselves, because those who seek to save their lives will lose their lives. We must patiently wait for God. Paul, a prolific writer, wrote to many churches and individuals in the Bible, including letters to Timothy. Let's take a look at Paul's first letter to Timothy in chapter 6, beginning with verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Patience is part of who we are. Patience is the development of our faith in Jesus Christ as we keep the commandments of God the Father. There is never a time when we are without patience, because when we live a life without patience, we run the risk of punting on God, taking matters into our own hand, and losing out on eternal life. As we live a life of faith, as we run this race of faith to this finish line, our salvation, the kingdom of God, we can be reminded of what was written in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. As we run our race of faith, let us run with patience this race that is set before us. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.